This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Had a good Saturday morning to you. I am joined this morning by Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Teresa, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
How nice of you to join us.
It's my pleasure. People waiting for you.
They're already lining up questions for you to keep you busy. Yeah, if you have any kind of a lawn and garden question, we'd love to hear from you, either by text or by phone, 651-461-9226. I tell you, it seemed to me that when the last time you and I talked, you were on the show, the weather was about the same.
It was
In fact,
the same.
It seems like it's been the same for the last month or two. But in the meantime, unfortunately, and I say that unfortunately because we have no rain in the forecast for at least another week.
That's tough on our plants.
Not good. But in the meantime, we'll keep you posted on the weather conditions as we always like to do. But if you have a question for Teresa, call or text. You know how busy we get. 651-461-9226. Here's one that came in earlier, Teresa. My oak trees, texture says, are shedding thousands of acorns this fall. And we get this from time to time. Why such variation year to year?
It's a lot with just the plant's chemistry and the weather. Sometimes trees will mast, M-A-S-T, and it's like all of the trees in an area just kind of are really heavily fruiting or putting out nuts at one time, at one year. They all seem to like, let's do it this year, and they all do it. Other times, sometimes the tree didn't do as many nuts last year, maybe because of all the drought we had. But this year, we actually had some spring rain, which really helped the trees. So they had more energy and were stronger to be able to put more of those nuts out. So it's just an environmental thing and what the trees do. And maybe next year you won't get so many. And just be careful walking and don't trip over the acorns. And beware of them falling on your head.
Yeah, it does vary that much.
It does.
Let's grab a phone call. Mary has been on the line calling in from Crystal this morning. Thanks for waiting, Mary. What is your question for Teresa?
My question is about compost, and I just harvested, if that's a word, my first batch of dirt, and it's lovely, except it has all these little hard-as-rock, look about marble-sized dirt balls. And what caused that, and how can I make that not happen my next batch?
Mary, well, congratulations on harvesting your compost. That's wonderful. I don't know what those little things are. What you might want to do is... I'm not sure why it would ball up. It could have been something with the moisture and the rain, and then just how it was all getting together and how you turned it. To be honest with you, I do not know what that could be. If it's just the little balls of dirt, I'm thinking it's something having to do with the rain and the moisture, and the little balls just kind of grew around the moisture. They just kind of held on, and then the rest was more open or something. I don't know why a compost would do that, but it's still going to break down with rain, so just use it anyway and go from there.
Okay.
Okay, thanks, Mary. Sorry.
That's good. Again, line is open, 651-461-9226. Homeowner says this, how do I deal, and tell me what this is, with leaf scab?
Oh, okay. So it's probably the apple scab on the apple trees. We saw on the crab apples and apple trees. It's a fungal disease that there's funguses in the air. But if you do happen to have an apple scab or you happen to have any diseased leaves at all, this includes your lilacs and apple trees that may have dropped their leaves, clean up all of that debris as best as you possibly can. Send it to your city compost. Their compost will heat up depth high enough to kill the fungal diseases. What you're trying to do is get some of that inoculant out of your yard so it doesn't reinfect your plants next year. But it's just a fungal disease that we see that hits leaves, and it's the moisture in the air. And we haven't had wet springs very often lately, so we're kind of out of tune with dealing with it. But just a good sanitary cleanup will really help for next year.
Very good. Back to the phones we go. Connie's calling in from Big Lake, I believe, this morning. Connie, good morning. What is your question for Master Gardener Teresa Rooney?
Hi, I live up on the Mississippi River, and we have some half an acre and a lot of buckthorn here, which I'm gradually trying to clear away. But I found a kind of a black fungus on some of them that seems to be killing them. So I'm leaving that black fungus, the infected ones, alone, and hopefully it'll spread. Do you have any information about that?
I have not heard anything about that. What you might want to do is get a hold of either the university and their disease clinic and see if they know, or talk to the DNR and see if they have any information about it. You might want to, they might even want to come out and sample it to see what it is, whether or not it's killing the buckthorn or it's something else. I have not heard anything about this, but I would definitely try to contact either the Arrest the Pest people or the buckthorn buster people and see if they know, and then they can tell you, well, you should remove it because it can impact these plants, or it's okay, you can leave it, it's just going to kill the buckthorn, and that's a great thing. But I have not heard of that, and I will now be researching, so thank you for giving me my homework,
right,
Connie.
Before we take a quick break, Teresa, a little bird tells me there's going to be a houseplant sale.
There is. The Hennepin County Master Gardeners are having our annual houseplant sale tomorrow, that's Sunday, from 10 to 3 at the Eisenhower Community Center in Hopkins on Highway 7. We'll have houseplants for sale, pretty good prices, some really, really unique houseplants, but we'll also have demonstrations. I'll be there with my one of my favorite master gardeners, Barb Gasterlin, and between the two of us, we'll be able to answer most of your questions on the information desk, and you can bring in any questions to us. We don't just restrict you to houseplants, but come on over and get some houseplants or just see some greenery before it all goes dark outside.
And that's tomorrow.
That's tomorrow, Sunday, October 6th, at the Eisenhower Center, Community Center in Hopkins, Minnesota.
Teresa, let's plan on mentioning that before you take
okay.
your leave this
Sounds
morning,
good.
Too. Let's do that. In the meantime, let's take a quick break, and we have many more questions to get answered. You can call in your lawn or garden question, or you can send a text. Either way, 651-461-9226. In the Twin Cities, it's currently 52 degrees now. We gained one in the last hour. We're going to have highs near 79 today. It's going to be breezy. And then tomorrow for the marathon, sunshine near 63, so a lot cooler. Right now, 52 on Newstalk 830 WCCO. And good morning. Welcome back to this portion of our Smart Garden Show here every Saturday in the 8 o'clock hour. This morning, answering those lawn and garden questions is Master Gardener Teresa Rooney. Call us, text us, same number, 651-461-9226. Teresa, we haven't mentioned it yet, but we always like to mention that University of Minnesota Extension website. So much good information, so much work goes into that. Just great reading, summer or winter, extension.umn.edu. It is an unbelievable resource.
It's a great resource, and they've got some new articles on there about the native grasses, how wonderful they are in the fall, how to save seeds, and to remind you to plant bulbs this year, your daffodils, your tulips, and your minor bulbs. Get those planted, your alliums, and you'll appreciate it in the spring after you do some digging and plant the bulbs this fall.
Okay. Texter is asking, in view of there not being any freezing temperatures in the near future, can I cut my perennials back now without the weather stimulating new growth?
They may grow again. That's a good point. I would not cut anything back unless, say, you're leaving town and you're not going to get to it after the frost. You know you're not going to be here in October, November, whatever. But if you can leave them up, the longer you can leave them up while they're growing, the more energy they will be able to put into their roots for next year. So they're really photosynthesizing now and really storing up carbs in their system. They're bulking up for the winter time, just like lots of us like to do or do. So if you can leave them up, that's good. If you have to cut them back, you have to cut them back. But whatever you do, please don't put down your winter mulch if you're going to now put down a heavy winter mulch until that ground's nearly frozen. Otherwise, you're really going to have a mice and vole problem, and they'll take out your perennials.
Lawn question. Is it too late to patch some bare spots in my yard with grass seed?
I would say yes. Look at the grass seed that you've got. It will tell you it sprouts in 3 to 21 days. Now think 21 days from now. Is that little tiny emerging grass seed going to have time to grow big enough that you have to mow it twice after that? That's putting you into 8 weeks from now. We're probably going to have a killing frost by that time. So please don't patch your lawns now. Just wait and do a dormant seeding. And Denny can tell you how to do dormant seeding. He's an expert at it.
Yeah, and I will be doing that very thing again. a lot of it, I think, this fall. Let's take a phone call from Peter, calling in from Minnetonka, I believe. Peter, good morning. What is your question for Teresa?
Yes, we have about 12 large oaks on our yard, and this year, for some reason, we had no acorns. We're just curious as to what happened.
And that's funny because our very first question, Peter, was about somebody who had lots of acorns. Sometimes the trees just are so stressed. Maybe they fruited heavily last year, and they just are so stressed they're not going to fruit heavily this year. Otherwise, there was probably a few acorns, and maybe you just have a lot of squirrels that have taken them, and you're just not seeing as many as you're used to. If the trees look healthy, don't worry about it. It's just a cycle thing that trees do, and it's really nothing to worry about, and it's not much we can do to control it anyway.
All right. Boy, lots of text too, Teresa, which is not unusual. Here's one. Two big branches have broken on my apple tree because of the weight of the apples. Is there anything I should do other than to remove the branches altogether?
Remove those branches altogether, and then next year, when your trees start fruiting, you need to cull or take off some of that fruit earlier so the trees do not have such heavy branches, especially because we're getting higher winds now with the changing climate and everything. We need to be a little more aware of how much weight is actually on those branches and reduce the weight. So yes, do prune them now as quickly as you can, get them out of there, and good luck for next year.
Is it too early to cut back peonies? Texter wants to know.
If it's up and still growing green, it is too early. If they have been killed by a frost or they're just black from powdery mildew, you can remove them. Otherwise, please wait until they start to get hit by the frost.
Another lawn question. We talked about this a bit ago. Should I aerate now or in the spring, do you think?
You can still aerate now. I would do it as quickly as possible so the plants have some time to recover. Just water well beforehand and then water well afterwards, and you should be just fine.
This listener planted a Tango Wigelia this spring. It needs trimming in the center because of dead branches. Can I cut back the whole plant to keep it uniform in shape and encourage growth in the center? Should I do it now or in the spring? What do you think?
First of all, take out all the dead stuff, then see what you're looking at, and if possible, wait till it blooms in the spring, in the early summer, and prune after that to get your shape back. But otherwise, I would take out the dead stuff now, and you may find it looks pretty okay, and then prune after it blooms in the spring.
What is the best way, a listener wants to know, to get rid of some kind of gnats in my house plants? Let's explain what those critters are.
These are fungus gnats. Sometimes they just appear. They're magical. They just come. What they're doing is they're living in the upper part of the plant soil, and if it stays really moist, that helps them complete their life cycle very easily. So if you can let the plants dry out a little bit, just a little bit. You don't want to stress the plant, but you want to keep that top part of the soil a little bit drier. That will really help. Sometimes people also will put maybe a half of inch of sand on top of the soil around the plant, and then you water, but the sand dries out more quickly than the soil below it will. So, and they like to live in just that first half inch or so of soil. It's usually more annoying than anything else. You can also use yellow sticky traps. You can buy them at the garden centers. You can make your own also. Just shine a light on them at night, and the yellow sticky traps, the yellow color just attracts the gnats. They get stuck on the traps, and then you just throw them away. That will really help if you can do some of those things in combination. That will help knock back that population.
Very good. Let's take another phone call this morning, Teresa. I think Dennis is checking in from Wyoming, Minnesota this morning. Dennis, thanks for calling. What's your question, please?
Is it safe to take acorns from a tree that has blight or wilt and transplant or plant those acorns in an area that does not have wilt?
That's a good question. I would have to check on that, Dennis. I'm not really sure. My first thought would have been yes, but then I just think, is that fungus in the acorns? And I don't know. If you're treating it, they should be fine. If the tree has wilt, though, I mean, you can always try it and just plant some up in some pots and sink the pots into the ground and see what the acorns look like when they come out in the spring. If they look nice and healthy, then you're probably onto something. But I would maybe do a little bit of checking, maybe check out the extension site, extension.umn.edu, and then go to the Oaks page and then the wilt and see if they have any recommendations right away on that.
And what do you think of getting in touch with an arborist as well?
That's a really good question. That's a good idea. Denny, see, you got this.
Guess.
You could also call if you know of a certified arborist in your area and just give them a question. You know what? Another thing you could do, too, is go to the Extension website and go to the Ask a Master Gardener question and send them that question.
Uh-huh.
And then they can do the research and really give you some really detailed information rather than me just trying it on the fly here.
That's a good idea. Listener wants to know, Teresa, should a hibiscus be cut back before bringing indoors?
That depends. If it's really, really big and you have a really, really small house, you'll need to cut it back a little bit. If you have space for the full-size plant, understanding it's going to probably grow a little bit in the house, you can bring the full-size plant in. Otherwise, you can go ahead and cut it back a little bit to make it fit inside your house. That's fine.
Interesting question. A listener was evidently looking for and wants to know, is there a universal guide in Minnesota for invasive trees?
There are invasive pest list, invasive tree list. Yes, there is. I can't remember it exactly, but I would first of all go to the Extension website, and then you can just type in invasive trees, and it will probably bring you right to a list of trees that we're looking at, that like tree of heaven, et cetera, that we don't want people to bring in, you know, amber maples and things like that. We don't want people to plant. Yes, there is a good list for that.
You know, I see a lot of folks when I head out there myself heading to the Arboretum. What a great time of year. People, I think a lot of folks, newcomers, are discovering that great resource.
It's a wonderful resource. It's got something for everybody. If you're into art, there's sculptures and paintings. If you take classes, if you have kids, there's stuff to do. There's adult classes. There's gardens. There's vegetables. There's trees. If you're thinking of putting in a tree, go out there and see what that tree looks like in real life. It's just amazing. There's so much going on. And right now, there's the beautiful fall colors and the crab apples with their apples that are still there and all of the dahlias and everything else. It's just a beautiful thing. And then when you're done there, head down to the Apple House, just a mile or so down the road on the right, and head down to the Apple House and get some apples and good stuff. So it's a gem. It's a wonderful, it's a place of beauty and learning. And Denny and I both like it. So
yeah, love it. Love it. Listener says this, or asks this, can I bring in my Carolina Reaper during the winter?
Yes, you can. And that's a pepper, by the way. And yes, you can bring in your peppers. You dig them up, put them in a pot. Make sure you clean off the pot and the plant really well. Bring it in. Seclude it from your other plants for about 2 to 3 weeks or 4 weeks to make sure it didn't bring in any hitchhikers. And then give it your sunniest window, and may not produce much. If it does produce any flowers, you may have to be the pollinator. But then you can get a bigger plant going into next year. Yes, you can definitely bring in your pepper plants.
Okay. This listener, Teresa, says, I have a row of 15 Technica Arvida. I'm sure what they mean is Arborvitae.
Mm-hmm.
All around 25 feet tall. I'd like to trim them, the tops and some of the sides. Is that possible?
It is. It should have been done by August 1st, so I would wait till next spring and do some minor trimming on it then. If they're getting up to 15 feet tall, that's a little tall to be up on a ladder with a chainsaw or something. You may want to have an arborist come out and do some trimming in the spring for you. I would definitely wait for the spring. And if you're on a ladder with a chainsaw, that's not a good combination. If you can reach it from the ground, that's different. But you can do some trimming, but that should have been done by August 1st.
Listener checked in from Granite Falls, wanted to know, as far as winter care for hydrangeas and asparagus, cut them back to ground level?
No.
No.
No. For hydrangeas, it depends on which hydrangea you have, whether it blooms on old or new wood. So the extension website, Julie put together a really good list about how to care for hydrangeas and different hydrangeas. So we'll tell you how to trim that. Your asparagus, I would leave up and standing all winter. It will die to the ground and then cut it back in the spring. But your hydrangea, definitely don't cut it back. You'll really be, don't cut it back.
All right. Very good. Hang on, Teresa. We'll take a quick break. Be back with the remaining minutes of our Smart Garden Show, 651-461-9226, our text and phone number here on 830-WCCO. I tell you what, let's do this, and then we'll take another break at the other end. But we have some text messages I don't want to forget about.
Okay.
Here's one, maybe a clarification about watering and aeration. Texter says, when you say water before aeration and after, do you mean right before you do it or the day before you do it, also watering after immediately or the next day? I would say, in my opinion, either way works.
Either way works. I would wait, though. I would probably water a day or two before so you're not walking out there on mud. You want to give it a good drink of water. Let the grass recover. What you're trying to do is hydrate the grass as much as possible. And you never want to be walking or putting big machinery on soaking wet soil. So I'd water a day before just to lessen the stress of the plant. And then you can water whenever afterwards, whenever you get tired of seeing that stuff on the top of the soil. Give it a day or two or three or four or a week, and then water afterwards. Just help to break it down a little bit.
Okay. How do you get rid of white flies? Is there something you can spray on them?
Probably not spraying, because they're hard to catch. Most of the sprays are a contact poison, but the yellow sticky traps work really well for white flies. And again, you can make your own or you can purchase them. But putting them out there, if they're in the house, they're easier to control. If you're outside, you don't know. But by creating a good ecological system outside, you can often bring in predatory bugs that will eat those little white flies, and that keeps them in check too. So once you start spraying chemicals, you start spraying herbicides and pesticides, you're messing up systems, and sometimes then you have to take care of the whole thing rather than let Mother Nature take care of it. So,
okay. And I've never heard this before, I used to have them, why are amur maples a bad choice?
So the amur maple, it's a smaller tree or shrub. They're absolutely beautiful. The thing is, they have escaped into our wild systems, and they are outgrowing a lot of the wild and native plants that we have. And then you get a big selection of amur maples, and it's just, when you have a whole bunch of the same kind of plant in one area, then disease happens. And if you lose it, you lose the whole thing. So that's why they're doing it, just because they seed so heavily and all the seeds seem very, very strong and they just take over areas. So that's why people are saying not to plant the amur maples.
Almost sounds like a buckthorn.
It does, although the amber maples don't produce chemicals like a buckthorn does. That kind of allopathy gets rid of other plants around it. They're just so aggressive. That's all. They're kind of they're beautiful thugs. So
kind of good to know. All right. This listener has moss growing up on my flowering crab trees from the sprinkling system. Should I pressure wash off the moss?
Don't pressure wash the moss. If possible, change your sprinkler system so you're not keeping that bark wet all the time. The moss is there. It's soaking. It's wet all the time. And the moss is not going to be a problem. However, funguses and other things will like to live in that environment. So if you can change the sprinkler head so it's not hitting the tree, even if you have to put up some kind of a barrier so it hits the barrier instead if for some reason you can't change the head. If you don't like the look of the moss, you can just peel it off. The moss itself is not going to hurt the tree. It's all the water that's hitting that trunk of the tree and just getting it soaking wet and making it an environment for diseases. That's what you don't want to do.
Texter says, when do you plant peonies?
Plant peonies first thing in the spring. If you can get the crowns, that's a wonderful thing to do. Otherwise, whenever you get them, just plant them in and I just know that the more the roots have been manipulated and damaged, they're a little slower to come out of that and bloom for you. So sometimes blooms are delayed a year or two. But the plant itself will come up and put on leaves and be just fine. So whenever you can find a peony, go ahead and plant it.
You know, sometimes, as you well know, we've got typos, or maybe people do send the text verbally. Mm-hmm. And it gets kind of garbled. You're going to have to help me with this one. I'll just read it as it says. I bought a peach contender tree about 3 or 4 years ago, and the leaves were very narrow and long. Now I have in that same tree wide leaves and a fruit that tastes exactly like a plum. Did they cross a peach tree with a plum tree, and now I have a plum tree instead? What do you think?
I would look and see there's going to be a graft, and they may have grafted it onto something else. That sounds really weird to me, honestly. And there may have been could there have been two trees in the pot, and the contender died, and now you have a plum there instead. It was just misplanted. That just sounds very strange to me. A tree doesn't change like that. So I'm thinking either the rootstock is taking over or there were somehow two trees. Maybe they even grafted a plum onto the contender and you didn't realize that. Maybe somebody is doing something funky. If it doesn't take over the whole tree or you get both in there, fine. It just sounds kind of wonky.
Hmm. Is it too late to plant perennials? Texter wants to know.
It depends on where you were. If you're up north, I'd say maybe. If you're down here in southern Minnesota, it's probably fine. Plant them in, water them really well. And if we start, because we're going to be in the 80s still by the end of the week, we haven't even seen a frost yet. If it starts to look like we're starting to get those normal fall weather days and it's getting quite cold, you may want to increase the mulch from 1 or 2 inches to 2 or 3 or 4 inches just to slow down the cooling of the soil right around those perennials. But if you can still get them, I would definitely put them in the ground and just keep watering them as best as you can.
Kind of a similar question, although the listener doesn't know the type of grasses, but those beautiful, big, wavy grasses you see various places.
Yep.
Can those be transplanted is his or her question right now.
You know, I probably would wait till spring to do transplanting of something. If you're just putting new perennials in the ground, go for it. But digging up plants and then dividing them and transplanting them, I'd probably wait for spring to do that. Just mark it really well and put a note on your calendar for March 1st to just think about transplanting the big grass that you saw.
I know you and your colleagues, and most of us are, we don't want to use pesticides if we don't really have to. But a listener wants to know, what kind of predatory bugs might eat white flies?
I'm thinking maybe soldier beetles and some of the birds, like hummingbirds, will like to eat those guys. Hummingbirds do eat a lot of little insects. You may not realize it, but they do.
I didn't know that.
Hummingbirds, they're little omnivores. They'll go for bugs too. Bugs are good protein, so they'll go for bugs. I'm not sure of all the other ones that might do it. And some of it might be that the white flies will lay their eggs and things will eat those eggs. So you may have ladybugs that eat the flies as they emerge and things like that. So I'd have to look up the life cycle and who actually eats white flies. But there's a lot of different insects that will eat them.
Maybe you can explain what this product is. Texter is asking, is moisture control potting soil good?
The moisture control potting soil probably has little beads in it or little bits in it that actually sort of absorb the water. They found, though, that a lot of that, when we added that to our pots, it gelled up and it held the water, but it didn't release the water very well back to the soil. So the soil didn't get the moisture back like they had thought it was. So it's not going to be bad. But I don't know if it's super necessary if you just pay attention to watering.
We're just about out of time, Teresa, and we're glad you were around today. But tell us, for those that may have missed it, there's a houseplant sale tomorrow.
Houseplant sale. So if you're thinking you need some houseplants, and don't we all, except people who live with cats who won't let them have houseplants, go to the houseplant sale, Hennepin County Master Gardeners, tomorrow from 10 to 3 at the Eisenhower Community Center in Hopkins. I'll be there with my favorite Master Gardener, Barb Gasterland, one of my favorite Master Gardeners, will be on the information table. But there'll also be demonstrations and lots of houseplants and people who are really passionate about houseplants and know interesting stuff. So come and get some. There'll be lots of normal houseplants and lots of really unique houseplants.
Absolutely. And tell us again about that university website.
extension.umn.edu, and visit the Arboretum and the Apple House.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, right near the Apple House, right there as you pull into the driveway, at least they had it when I was there, you can get some great mini donuts, I think, that are better than the fair. But that's just a little bit of a plug. Just an idea.
That's a good idea.
All right. Teresa, thanks so much. We'll talk soon.
Talk to you next time.
You bet. Master Gardener Teresa Rooney here on CCU. Now, get those home improvement questions ready for Andy Lindis. Of course, our home improvement hour will be coming along next hour here on CCU. What can we expect today? A windy day, but highs near 79. Cooler day tomorrow. It's going to be sunny, but highs near 63. But wouldn't you know, by the end of the week, sunny on Friday near 83. Right now, 52. Stay with us here on CCU.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.